So when I was a youth, I fell in love with the music of the rock band U2. And they continued to be my favorite band even through college. One of the things that attracted me to the music of U2 in the first place was the fact that they sang about and talked openly about their Christian faith. And I read that there are more than 50 scriptural references in the music of U2. And the group's lead singer, Bono, often talks openly about his faith in Jesus Christ. I tell you this because perhaps one of the most famous settings of Psalm 40 is by the band U2. And I used to listen to that setting of Psalm 40 as a youth. And so Psalm 40 was one of the first psalms that I fell in love with as a young person. And it was due to the fact of the influence of this band called U2. For many years, U2 would close their concerts with one of the lines from this psalm setting. They would sing, "I will sing a new song. I will sing a new song." So I'm going to have you try that with me so we can get the feel of this concert setting that I experienced, okay? It's not too hard, so let's try it. Ready? And I will sing. Keep going. And so the audience would sing that song, or that line from the song. You can imagine arms waving, maybe lighters being lit or cell phones being raised at the concert. But they would sing that song, or that line from that psalm setting, over and over. Even as the band left the stage, or when they were off the stage, the audience would continue to sing those lines from that psalm. And I had the privilege of attending one of their concerts, and I remember thinking, do these enthusiastic concert goers know that they are singing a song or a line from a psalm from the Bible? And it was an incredibly powerful experience. And I remember being profoundly affected by the deep faith that this wildly popular rock band displayed so openly. The new song that U2 sings about and that the psalmist writes about in Psalm 40 is probably a particular Hebrew term that a Bible scholar would determine or would call or describe as a song of thanksgiving. A song that is sung after the psalmist has been delivered from a crisis. In the words of this particular psalmist, "He drew me up from a desolate pit out of a miry bog, and he set my footsteps upon a rock, making my steps secure. He put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord." These psalms of thanksgiving speak to the profound truth that just because one has faith in God doesn't mean that all will be easy in life. In fact, this psalmist has been delivered from an incredibly desperate situation. They've maybe even been delivered from the point of death. And yet, in the end, this psalmist has experienced God's grace in a profound way. This imagery of psalms is common in ancient Hebrew texts and prayers. And the author of this psalm has, the experiences that the author has had have consequences for the whole faith community, many of whom will see and fear. It's a call to put trust in God. Such trust and thanksgiving is a gift from the Lord, and this psalm is a reminder to all of God's people that no matter the circumstances of this life, God's love and faithfulness to his people is steadfast. If you came across another psalm that fits the pattern of this particular song, where it begins by describing a time of crisis and how the psalmist asked God for help, moves on to praise God for the help that was received, and describes the help that God gave, you are probably reading a psalm of thanksgiving. Now, this particular psalm is a bit strange in that if we read the rest of it, if we went to verses 11 through 17, the psalmist then goes into what seems like more of a lament. But usually in a psalm of thanksgiving, the lament or the complaint comes first, followed by the thanksgiving part. So here the order seems reversed, perhaps reminding us that the life of faith doesn't always just flow in one direction, from lament to thanksgiving, or from rocky to smooth. The waiting of the psalmist is not always easy. It's not always smooth. And in fact, it's not always very patient. It has its ups and downs. It has its own reversals, probably much like our lives of faith. And my own professor of Psalms at Luther Seminary, Rolf Jacobson, says that the translation of the first line of the psalm, "I waited patiently," isn't a very good one. He says a better translation would be, "I waited and I waited. Why did I have to wait so long?" So there is in this psalm a sense of impatience. And I don't know about you, but I think in my own life of faith, it is more characteristic that it is that way. I'm not very patient when it comes to waiting for God, when I think that things aren't working as I hope they would. I most often find myself hoping that God would move a little bit faster to offer a hand when things aren't going so well. And I think as Christians, we find ourselves often waiting impatiently for the Lord. But when God does act, when God does put our feet on solid ground, the psalmist says that the way to say thank you is for us to share what has happened with others, to offer our testimony, our story of faith with those around us. If you were here a couple of weeks ago, you were blessed to hear the music and stories shared by members of Adult and Teen Challenge, an addiction recovery program that has had wonderful success in helping those addicted to drugs and alcohol turn their lives around. As they told of what were often incredibly painful stories of what drove them to addiction, stories of what can happen in life when the bottom drops out, many of us who got to hear those stories were cut to the heart. It's hard to imagine someone could have survived some of the experiences that they had to go through, and some of their accounts were frankly hard to hear. Narratives of extreme brokenness and loss. And those experiences often began in childhood. The men and women of Adult and Teen Challenge know firsthand what it means to be in a desolate pit and stuck in a miry bog. But because of the work of the Adult and Teen Challenge organization, and because of, for many of them, a newfound life in Christ, they also know what it means to have God put their lives on solid ground, making their footsteps secure once again. And as we heard that new song that God had put in their mouths when they joined as a choir to sing to us, songs of praise to God, it was incredibly powerful to hear that whole choir join and sing thanks to God, the God who had brought wholeness to their broken lives. We also got to experience how gripping their testimony was, how their lives were transformed, and how incredible those transformations were. For me, that morning spent with them was one of the most memorable witnesses I have ever had of how God can turn a life around. And I think the lives of those courageous members of the Adult and Teen Challenge Choir who sang for us and shared their brokenness with us embody the message of this psalm, Psalm 40. Their lives are a living reminder of this psalm. Listen again to these verses and see if you don't agree. I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined to me and heard my cry. He drew me up from the desolate pit, out of the miry bog, and he set my feet upon a rock, making my steps secure. He put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise for our God. Many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord. I have told the glad news of deliverance in the great congregation. See, I have not restrained my lips, as you know, O Lord. I have not hidden your saving help within my heart. I have spoken of your faithfulness and your salvation. I have not concealed your steadfast love and your faithfulness from the great congregation. The message of Psalm 40 is the message of Adult and Teen Challenge, a song of praise sung by those who have walked through the darkest of valleys. God met them in the midst of their suffering and he rescued them. And their response to God is to sing praise and to thank him. To thank him by telling others of what he had done for them. And I think their lives are a great example for our own lives. Because even if we haven't experienced the depth of suffering of those who have been addicted to drugs or alcohol, we too have been through challenging times in our lives. And God remains faithful to us as well. We too have been given new life through God's grace. And our response to God should be the same as the psalmist, to praise God by giving thanks to God for what God has done for us, and to speak of God's salvation to others. And yet, we Lutherans aren't so good about sharing our faith with others. Yes, we have experienced God's grace in our lives in remarkable ways. But many of us are out of practice of sharing that story of faith. Maybe many of us were never in that practice in the first place about talking about our faith and the incredible things that God has done for us in our lives. But I think this psalmist is outlining the chief characteristics of what our lives of faith should look like. Thankfulness because of what God has done for us through his grace, followed by thanksgiving and praise to God, and wrapped up by sharing with others the story of salvation and grace we have received from this God of steadfast love and faithfulness. That's one way we live out the great commission of Jesus to go and make disciples of all nations. And maybe that begins in a small group that you meet with. Or maybe it's the person that you sit next to during coffee time. Perhaps it's just through writing about your experience of faith. But I think if we can practice telling the story here, within the safety of our church walls, then maybe we'll be a little better at sharing that story of faith with the world, with our neighbors, with our friends and relatives, with a world that longs to hear that we do have a loving and faithful God, even when things don't seem to be going the way that they hope. Even when tragedy and disaster seem to strike every time we turn on the news. When our confirmation students meet every week during the school year, for part of their meeting time, they break it into small groups for small group discussion time. One of the questions they're asked to answer during every small group discussion is, how have you seen God working in your life? And that's the question I want to bring to you now. How have you seen God working in your own life? But I'm going to add another question. The question of, how could you bring that story to someone who needs to hear it? Maybe it's through working to repair a broken relationship. Maybe it's by asking for forgiveness. Or maybe it's by forgiving someone who has hurt us. Perhaps it's sharing with somebody who's going through a rough patch in life, a time when you experienced your own challenges. When we receive God's aid in life, the thank you note that God wants most for us is that we tell others where they too can experience the grace and forgiveness of a loving and faithful God. Again, our story might not be as compelling as those stories of those adult and teen challenge choir members, but the story of God's grace in our lives is just as important. And someone in this world needs to hear it. And the message is simple. God found me. God brought me through the challenging times of my own life. And I have experienced God's grace. Praise God. Now I will tell the world what he has done for me, because that is the response that our amazingly loving and faithful God asks of us. Thanks be to God.